starting in verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And that when they were come, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto you into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And then verse 24, and I've sent this out, I've texted this to some of you, and if you'll keep this verse, this is another great verse to hide in your heart. It's a great verse for today. But none of these things move me, Paul said, and neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. This is a great thing. And if you ever get to the point to where you don't count your life dear to you, I'm talking about your earthly life, because those in Christ Jesus, we have an eternal life. And so from this, what Paul said, that I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Then he said, save that the Holy Ghost, what? Witnesseth. And I'd like to tell you this morning that if the Holy Ghost be anything, it'd be a witness. A witness. And a witness is extremely important. The witness of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that that witness of the Holy Ghost is ever present in a child of God's life. The witness. And I want you to keep that in mind this morning. The witness. And because you're going to need that witness. And you're going to need it today. Now, whether we hear or heed, that's another matter. But there's no doubt it's there. God has provided a witness for our benefit. If you turn to the book of John, John chapter 14. Jesus spoke that he was going to leave us a comforter. Do you recall? John chapter 14, verse 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's a separate and a different comforter from Jesus Christ the Lord, although the three are one. But it's a different administration, that he may abide with you ever. That's a glorious thing. He's talking to men. He's fixing to leave. But he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. The comforter. And then he goes on to say, the Spirit of truth. Even, look in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Whom what? The world can't receive, because it seeth him not. The world only believes what they can see. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him. But you know him. How? The witness. The witness of the Holy. You know him because he dwelt, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Comforter, the Spirit of truth. And here is the difference between them and us. You see verse 20. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. How? Witness. Now I know you all. And I believe that in some lies this spirit. You know how? It bears witness. And you might say, well, all I know is my spirit witnesses with your spirit. I've come into the very presence. Just only the presence of certain individuals, and my spirit bear witness with their spirit. You see, the Holy Ghost always bears witness. When I'm truly led of the Holy Ghost, truly, now hear me, there's always witness. Everything that I've ever had of God, there was always witness. It was always followed by witness. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't have witness, you better check that thing out, because you probably don't have the Lord in it. I've spoken to many over the years of this philosophy that I've come to know. A great old preacher told me many years ago, my what I call my push-pull philosophy. Told a man of it yesterday. And it's one of the things that I have the witness of. It never left me. I'm getting up in years and I don't remember certain things, but I've never forgotten that witness. And that old man, he told me, he said, son, he said, I don't push the wagon and I don't pull the wagon. And that's a witness. You ever get that witness and you'll know if this time is right, if this place is right, if this thing is right, because of that witness, you see. And it'll keep you from a heap of trouble if you'll be sensitive to the power and the witness of the Holy Ghost. Even in the natural now, we receive innate feelings and desires. We have witnesses in the natural. Did you know that? We do. I've had natural witnesses my whole life, even before I was in the Lord and such as that. You see, something either feels right or it doesn't. Haven't you? You've had those things in the natural. Well, there's a spiritual version of that, you see. But nature is such. The animals have it. They live and survive by it. If you want to know when an earthquake's coming, look at the animals. They have all these seismographs. But look at, if you want to know certain things, my wife's very good at that, and she can read animals. And you read the animals because they're living solely by nature. I've got a new neighbor, and we were speaking with him about how we had prayed for neighbors. It's very important. And we had prayed for neighbors, and we were talking about different places. And he said, you know, that's true. He said, the realtor had taken us and shown us this 300-acre ranch or 400-acre ranch, and it had like a castle on it. And he said, but I believed that there was an evil spirit there. I didn't have the right feeling about that place. Isn't that something? But when he found this place, he got a totally different spirit, a totally different thought, you see. So, all men, lest they be reprobate, they possess an innate nature of feelings and desires about things, okay? All living possess a nature. Not all good, I might add, but they possess a nature. You know, Romans 2:14, one of my favorite verses, speaks of the Gentiles, and God says, who do by nature. Who do by nature. Now, I certainly know and very familiar and preached many times and totally believe
the doctrine of totally, excuse me, of total depravity. And I know it very well. Yet natural men, and we quite often forget, natural men are capable of many good deeds. This fellow, I can't remember his name, infamous serial killer, one of the infamous serial killers, and he had killed children, he'd killed I forget how many people, but he lived with a family and he treated them with great kindness. So even the most dastardly men, like Adolf Hitler, didn't treat everyone bad. I think he had some nieces or nephews and other men, they said, oh, he was the most kind man. Okay? Doesn't mean that he didn't possess the total depravity. Doesn't mean because you and I weren't mass murderers that we weren't, in Christ's eyes, totally depraved. Because he said there's none good. But it doesn't mean we're not capable of what we would know as good deeds. You understand? In the natural. It's in man to do both good and evil. And that's in every man. It's in the worst of men, and it's in the best. Well, how? Well, don't eat that tree. Okay? But we did. And I believe this is why many falsely believe today, and I've witnessed this so many years, that they've been converted. Because they start to see themselves as good. You see? This strong, innate nature within every man. Well, I'm certainly better than my neighbor. And he's a church man, you know, and so on. And I've come to believe that a man can make himself believe almost anything. Like I said, lean not to your own understanding, because you're going to think, oh, what a good boy am I. You see? And if it were possible, Matthew 24:24, Jesus told of this. He said, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible. They shall deceive the very elect. You see? But they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, it says in Corinthians that Satan has what? Angels of light. Can appear as an angel of light and has what? Ministers of righteousness. You see? So what's our defense against this? You know, I get texts. I just got a text. Well, I just saw it on my phone. And it's all about the current events of the day. About all these things. There's more rumors. And didn't Christ say there'll be rumors and rumors of wars, and there'll be, and men will wax worse and worse. And then we're always surprised when it happens. Like, hello? Okay? You see, but you see, what did he say? He said, I'm going to leave you something. And you've got to remember this. That's how we can get as Paul there in our text. And that is the witness of the Holy Ghost. And that's what prevents you and I. That's what protects you and I. It's what keeps you and I. You remember Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts? He made profession and was baptized. Bible says he believed and he was baptized. Had a great argument with a man, a pastor and a medical doctor, one night over this very issue many, many years ago. But it's, the Bible says that Simon Peter, he perceived otherwise. And he declared, I perceive. See, Simon Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And man, I've seen a lot of men and people flock to him and they go, oh, what a great guy, and this guy's a great Christian. Man, you're going to love this preacher, and you're going to like this, and you're going to like this. And I've had them say that about me. Where are they? They're all gone. Kind of in the opposite, okay? He said, and in the bond of iniquity. Now many received this one Simon. Obviously, they baptized him. And everything was fine until Simon Peter showed up, because he perceived. You see, he had the witness. And this comes but by the Holy Ghost. But by the Holy Ghost. Saving belief comes but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was going to preach on that today. I've got the message ready. But when I receive this, I believe this is a great prelude to that. And I believe such to be a separate work of the Holy Ghost. Now, many Baptists and such, they don't believe that. They get scared to death. And I'm not here to tell you I've not spoken in tongues. I don't believe, many believe, well, that gift is not, it says tongues shall cease, Paul says, and they shall to an extent. I believe that there is a gift of tongues. I don't possess it. I've never heard anyone, I've heard many, many profess to speak in tongues. I've never heard the first that I believe. You know why? There wasn't a witness. And Paul devotes a whole chapter of scripture, 1 Corinthians 14. And there's a witness in there. But there be an interpreter. Do you remember? And they twist that thing around. And Paul did that because when you get into those spiritual gifts, like the Lord said, if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. And so I hope you can see that the Holy Ghost is involved here. This witness of the Holy Ghost. Many believe that the Holy Ghost wasn't given. All my old Pentecostal friend, most of them have passed on now. They didn't believe that the Holy Ghost came until the book of Acts. And I used to remind my Pentecostal buddies that in John 20:22, the Lord breathed on them and gave them the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? In the book of John. Now that's, I don't believe that to be the baptism of the Holy Ghost when Paul laid hands and they said, we've not even heard if there be a Holy Ghost. I myself, I've experienced several workings of the Holy Ghost in this pilgrimage, in this walk. Various degrees and diverse gifts. I'm going to use, you've heard me say many times that the best example, natural example of the true birth is what? Do you remember? Don't remember? Marriage. Marriage. True marriage. Okay. Because what the two and a true marriage, and Jesus said, only God can make two one. Okay? It said that, if you remember in the Old Testament, you might remember it said that Jonathan and David had a love that surpassed even that of a man to a woman. Do y'all remember that? That's very important. It's very important. Okay? But you got to be very careful here because this is a non-conjugal love. And many err here today. Sodomites and such, they use that as their segue into professing Christianity. Okay? Well, look at David and Jonathan. Yeah, I am looking at David and Jonathan. And I understand it implicitly. Okay? And they use it to justify their perversion. But it's against nature. It's against nature itself. Likewise, it says the book, chapter 1 of Romans, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. You remember that? Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And it talks about the women. But you see, lesbians and queers, can you say that? Of course I can. Lesbians and queers be the grossest of sins, as they are against the very nature that God created. You're denigrating the very image that God created. God created man in his image, and he created woman in the image of man. You see. And it's the same with those that abuse children, pedophilia and such. It's against nature. It's repugnant to the vast majority of natural people. You don't have to know the Lord to know that it's repugnant, to know that it's vile. It's against nature. A lot of mainstay religions, Catholicism, I've known them in Baptist churches and other churches. Many religions are rife. And it'll come out down the road. They'll find, wow, did you hear that? Brother so-and-so or father so-and-so or so-and-so did it, and they're all surprised. You know why? They never had the witness. Haven't you ever been around people and you go, you know, there's something wrong here? I always liked that they don't put it in the paper anymore. I used to preach on it all the time. They used to have, what's wrong with this picture? And one leg on the table would be shorter than all the rest. And you go, there's something wrong with this picture. That can be a witness of the, you can figure that out in the natural, but it can, in spiritual matters, it can be a witness of the Holy Ghost. You see? The vilest and grossest of sins. Now, I'm going to say something. When the girl came to live with us many years ago, seemed like yesterday, but many, many years ago, I told Melissa, and she didn't totally understand this, and I understand that now, that in a sense, I'd be as a husband to that girl right there. And many people, they'd never understand that, you see. In all but conjugal rights. And you have to understand that. And it was so. You remember there was a time when Joseph and Mary were in all but conjugal rights. But he was taking care of her. He was looking after her. You know, if you take away conjugal rights, a relationship between a man and a woman in marriage is pretty much like it is with your, she's looking after you and you're looking after her. That's why the conjugal is what they say used to in the marriage.
Consummate.
It was a witness. Do you see? It was a witness. And that's why many misunderstood the relationship that the girl and I still have. And some of them still misunderstand it. Because you see, I have a supernatural relationship with that girl. And she has a supernatural relationship with me. I've got it with others. But others didn't live in my home for 2 years. And others weren't converted in this ministry. I didn't get to see them born again just like little James was born, you see. And I know that I've had that same relationship with brethren. The same relationship. Do you see? Thus, and until you have that, now listen, you can't understand the bride of Christ. That's why it's the bride. He's the groom. The groom and the bride of Christ. It's kind of like when you talk about a prophet. I never speak of it. I'm a prophet. Oh, you know, no, I don't know any of that. No. So you're thinking of a seer. You're thinking of a different form of prophecy. What a prophet does is he declares the word of God. But you got to be careful, because uneducated and ignorant religious people, they don't understand words. And when you have this relationship, this non-conjugal marriage between brethren, do you understand what I'm saying? It's a supernatural love beyond even the physical love that you share with a spouse. It goes beyond. Why? Because it's eternal. We're not going to be married or given in marriage in heaven. Isn't that what the word says? Mm-hmm. Although I'm blessed with both, with her. And don't get me wrong, I'm real happy about the conjugal. Okay? But it's different. But you must understand this to understand this witness of the Holy Ghost. Because God says, you know how you pass from death to life? Do you remember in 1 John chapter 3? One way, he said, that you love the brethren. Not that you go to Afghanistan and do many great deeds, and not that you go to Mount Ararat and get 10 commandments or build an ark, but that you love the brethren. The natural man has no perception of this. The underlying cause of affection in a natural man, do you know what it is? Lust. And so, different thing, when the girl, everybody thought it was lust. What else could they think? What? They didn't have the witness. And it's not just in that situation. It's been in many situations. They don't, well, how come you're hanging around with that guy and that guy and that guy? I said, well, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. And they didn't. And they never did. They never understood it. Because everything that I'm speaking of here, the counterfeit of that is lust. It was lust in Lucifer. When Lucifer said, Bible said he raised himself up, he was more beautiful. The truth is, he lusted after the guy in the mirror. Lust. And he never understood that love. He never understood. And that's why, I believe that's why God turned him loose on Job. He'll cuss you into your face if you, but he never did. Because Lucifer, even though he was the anointed cherub, second only in command to God, he never got that. You see, he doesn't have the witness. He doesn't have the witness. He never got that. He'll turn on you. No. Paul turned. The Lord allowed Satan to be a thorn in that man Paul's flesh. He'll turn on you. I can get him. No, you can't. No, you can't. I've told you, if people have told me, I'll tell somebody, I'll go, man, I'll never go back to that. I've had people now for almost 40 years tell me, oh, preacher, you better watch what you're saying. You better watch what you're saying. I said, well, I am watching what I'm saying. I'll never go back to that. Because when my Lord, when my Savior died on the cross, he spoke three words. It is finished. Until it's finished with you, you'll never receive this. It's supernatural. And you have to understand that to understand this. You must be reborn. The natural man has no perception of this because he lives with lust. And I could speak for a long time on that. Some of the biggest problems we've ever had in this ministry, and in most ministries today, including from the pulpit down, has to do with lust. Because you can pull anything up. What used to be in secret and behind closed doors and under shelves is available for that little boy. You remember that when you give him this cell phone. You remember that. You better remember what's in Pandora's box, you see. So for the present, I'm going to not go in that direction. I'm speaking on the subject at hand. Y'all remember, are we not told, you remember 1 Thessalonians 5:26 says, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I only know one man on the earth today that does that. We support him down in Mexico. And most men go, oh, do you know why? They're not deep enough into this. They've not grown into this. But only those that have the possession of the witness of the Holy Ghost can truly understand that thing. And finally, in our text, if you go back to Acts chapter 20, and look at verse 36 and 37, because Paul said, man, I'm leaving. He knew he was going to a certain, he knew that by the witness of the Holy Ghost, he wasn't coming back. And verse 36 said, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. I can't tell you how poignant that is. And unless you've had a true love of the brethren, you can't know. What do I know of the Holy Ghost? I had written here, perhaps you should learn. But I had to withdraw that. Rather, you should know. Because mistakenly, many believe they can learn of the Holy Ghost. What I found of most that learn is that, if anything, the Holy Ghost is departed from them. Because the Holy Ghost is foolishness to the learned, you see. That's why I meet very few Bible and some. And I went, I told you I left. They were trying to get the Holy Ghost out of me. Meet so few seminary and Bible school graduates that possess the Holy Ghost. So all I can do is ask you if you have the witness. I can't put this in you. I didn't learn to love her. Y'all understand that? I didn't learn to love her. Y'all understand that? I didn't learn to love you. Because then it would be something different. It'd be lust, you see. And I can like you. The witness of the Holy Ghost.